Welcome to another edition of the Lore of the Films podcast. I am your host, Ryan Fernand, and today I will be discussing my recent trip to the New York Film Festival, where I saw The Artist, and I'm going to discuss The Artist's Oscar chances. Then, I know it's been over a week since the Breaking Bad finale, but I'm just going to do a brief review on that finale and its Emmy chances. So without further ado, this past Sunday I went to the New York Film Festival, which is at the Lincoln Center in New York City. And I've never been to the Lincoln Center before, but it's a gorgeous place. It's definitely one of the best looking places in New York City. And that's where the New York Film Festival is held. And New York Film Festival has such a great program. It had The Descendants, it had The Artist, it had Martha Marcy May Marlene, Melancholia, Dangerous Method, the world premiere of My Week with Marilyn. They definitely had a oh and the world premiere of the In Progress Hugo screening. So they had a lot of great films. I only saw The Artist, but the staff there was nice, and it was a great atmosphere. I would definitely recommend it. So anyways, I saw The Artist, and the if you haven't seen my review of The Artist, it's at loreofthefilms.net. You can find it there. It's still on the homepage. Anyways, The Artist is a definitely it's definitely a major Oscar contender. I think if Warhorse doesn't live up to the hype that The Artist is gonna win, it's just a film made for cinephiles, and the audience I was with completely ate it up. It's just such a fun film, and it's just definitely suited towards Oscar voters. It's not suited towards them, but they'll eat it up. And it just makes you seem like you are back in like the early 1900s in this era of silent films. And it really makes you think of is the way people are reacting to the film in the theaters. This is how people were reacting to the film, silent films, when they were still all the rage. Anyways, onto specific categories. I think Best Picture is definitely a lock, a nomination at least, especially with it being the Weinstein Company's major film in the Oscar race. They're definitely going to give it their full support, and therefore it is a lock for a nomination. Then director Michael Hazanavicius, sorry if I mispronounced that, is probably, and despite not being a name, he's kind of a newbie. His French films never crossed over into the world cinema market. But the film is definitely a director's film. You can definitely tell that there was a huge directorial force behind this film, and I think that will definitely get him in. Then the lead actor in the film was Jean Dujardin. I'm gonna have trouble pronouncing a bunch of these names, but anyways, he was phenomenal in the film as he just channels all these great silent film actors, and he is great at mugging for the camera, and he's kind of reminiscent of Charlie Chaplin and some other great silent film actors. Anyways, he's probably in. He won the Cannes Film Festival Award for Best Actor, and I think he's in. Then let's go to the other actors. There's Berenice Bejo, who is the lead actress in the film, but she's going to be submitted in supporting actress. She's clearly the lesser of the main actors in the film. She does get some good material, but not as good as some of the other actors in the film. So if she gets in, it'll only be on the coattails of a major nominations day for the film. I'm currently not predicting her, but if the film really picks up momentum, she could get in. And then the one thing that's surprising is that John Goodman, who plays a film studio head in this film, is he's not getting any buzz or awards buzz, and that's kind of shocking because it's a performance that you would think would get some attention. It's very flashy. It's a role about a studio head, which, trust me, there's a bunch of studio heads voting at the Oscars. It's definitely about them. And supporting actor is such a weak category at the moment. I'm just stunned he isn't getting any buzz at all. And it's just the type of performance, it's very flashy. It's the type of performance that Oscar voters would normally go for, and he is great in the film. original screenplay might be a bit of a stretch just because it's silent, but I could see it getting in on the coattails of a major nominations day for the film. And then it will definitely clean up the technical categories. I think score is a lock. The score is my favorite score of the year. It's just, it works great as its own score and as an homage to all the silent film scores of old. It's wonderful. I think I'll get in for editing, cinematography. It has a great sound mix. It's a silent film, but it does have some sound elements to it, and the way those are introduced are just so wonderfully done. Then I think it's going to get in for art direction and costume design. It has some funky costume design choices, and I think for the most part they work, so I think it's in. So I'm just going to wrap up by saying that it's definitely a major Oscar contender. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the nominations leader on nominations day, and I also wouldn't be surprised if it ends up winning Best Picture. So now on to Breaking Bad, which had its finale on October the 9th, so that's over a week ago. That was not last Sunday, but the Sunday before that. And it was the fourth season finale, and it just perfectly brought all the themes of the fourth season to a close. And this theme of Walter thinking he is the one who knocks, and whether he is the one who knocks, was just brought to a perfect close. And then the big scene that the episode, there was two big scenes, the cliffhanger, and then there was the other big scene that the whole season was building towards. And I just thought it was perfectly foreshadowed. I mean, for Breaking Bad titles of episodes, they like to do double entendres. And the season finale was called Face Off, which you would think it means the face-off between Walter and Gus Fring. And it did mean that, but it also had another meaning. And I like how that came up. And then the scene was also foreshadowed in the many times when when Gus goes to visit Hector Salamanca. Hector is watching Bridge on the River Kwai in that final scene where Al Guinness's character gets fatally wounded, yet still gets up and dusts off his hat and everything before actually dying. And that's just so much like the death. I guess I'll spoil it. So spoilers here for the fourth season finale of Breaking Bad, the death of Gus Fring, where he fixes his tie one last time before finally dying, despite being fatally wounded before he fixes his tie. And then the wounds Gus Fring received were very similar to the teddy bear, the damage that was done to the teddy bear that was in the plane crash in season two. So I liked how it was perfectly foreshadowed. And then, of course, the scene was just so surprising, yet the viewers and the TV series, the creators of the show, knew it wasn't surprising that he died, but the manner in which it was done was just so surprising and so perfectly executed. I'm just never going to forget that moment. It was just so shocking and horrifying. So I was definitely a big fan of the fourth season finale and the fourth season as a whole. And I think Emmy voters will be too. I think it could definitely win Best Drama Series over Mad Men, which has won it the past four times. I think Emmy voters are just getting tired of Mad Men. It only won one other award this year besides Best Drama Series. So I think that they're kind of getting tired of it. The one thing going against Breaking Bad, though, is it might be a bit too pulpy for viewers. It's just a bit out there, a bit too graphic and gory and a little bit too disgusting for them to completely go for it. But I think there's just going to be enough voters out there that truly see it as the great television series it is that it'll end up winning Best Drama Series finally. Then I think Bryan Cranston is already a lock to win. He was just so phenomenal, and especially in the back half of the season. He had so many great moments, such as the I'm the One Who Knocks monologue and his scene in the crawl space of his house when he finds out that he doesn't have enough money to disappear. I think he's locked for the win. Then Aaron Paul's obviously going to be nominated again, and hopefully Giancarlo Esposito as Gus Fring will get nominated as well. However, he won't be in the next season because he's killed off. So, and it's by the time the Emmys, the nominations are announced, it'll be a full year almost since Breaking Bad has aired, and I'm just worried Emmy voters will forget about Esposito, so he may have trouble getting in. But anyways, if those two get in, either one of them could end up winning, and they'll both be challenging Peter Dinklage, the past winner in this category, who also has some great material as the second book that Game of Thrones, the second season of Game of Thrones, will be based off of. He gets there's some amazing work for Dinklage to use in that book. The one thing I really hope that this series can break through in is the writing categories. This show has never been nominated for Best Writing in a Drama Series, despite being probably the best written show on television. And I'm hoping it can get nominated. It's going to have an uphill climb just because it's already a tough category to get into. There's tough competition. And then if they're not liking your style of writing and they're not nominating you for writing in your first, second, or third season, the odds of getting nominated in the fourth season are very unlikely. Anyways, its best chances of getting nominated are Cornered, which is the one with the Bryan Cranston's I Am the One Who Knocks speech, and the Anna Gunn's I, Who's Going to Protect This Family from the One Who Protects This Family speech. And then the only other one I think it could get in for is Crawl Speech, which has the just that crazy build up to those final scenes where everything just spirals out of control. That was just perfectly executed. And then, as usual, it should score a bunch of technical nominations. They'll get in for cinematography, editing, the sound categories. Hoping this year it can win cinematography for once, because Michael Slovis does some great work on that show, and he's never won, although he has been nominated before. So that about wraps it up. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Ryan Fernand, and I'm out.